positive energy into the universe.
All right, everybody, welcome to episode 24 of the Ron and Brian podcast. As always, I am Ron, joined by the Chris to my Bruce. Brian, how are we doing today, sir?
Chris to Bruce. Batman and Robin?
No. Think about what our main topic is going to be today.
Chris to the Bruce. Oh, okay. Chris Kardashian and the formerly named Bruce Jenner, but you're talking about Caitlyn Jenner. So you're trying to say that I am a transgendered woman, and I accept that because I'm tired of being a cis male.
All right, I respect your vision.
I still didn't get it. One of these, what would you say my hit rate is for these?
It's about 10%.
All right,
that's generously 10%.
That is generous. That is very generous. I'll accept it.
But I'm trying to do what I can for you.
I appreciate it. I appreciate all your efforts. Are we doing this?
We got a lot to go over this episode. So tell me where you'd like to begin.
Well, I think we first start off with we got to go in order. We do drink of the week, we do racist of the week, and we do beef of the week.
All right. So drink of the week. A little late on the poll this week. I'm not going to lie. You have me running around today, my friend.
As was I. I actually had I'd put up the poll, and on our Facebook page, the Ron and Brian podcast, unfortunately, did not realize that I didn't finish the poll, because when I went to check on the poll yesterday to see how the votes were doing, I realized that there was no actual Drink of the Week poll that had been posted, so did it last night. So for those people that really want to mess things up, you can right now just go in and start voting for the smashed bastard or the suffering bastard, and suddenly our caramel apple cider cocktail does not win. But that's not going to happen.
I'm just adding stuff to our repertoire.
That's all right. Keep it going.
So as far as we know, the caramel apple cocktail is our winner.
That it is.
So I have mine right here. Hold it up to the camera so you can see. Oh, you went with a little kind of a, I don't want to say a wuss glass, but I've got a manly, hungry man size portion right here.
Do I see ice cubes?
Yes, some ice cubes in there.
Oh, I warmed mine up. This is a
really.
I went with the. I saw a couple of recipes and I saw one that said warmed, and I said, "Oh no, I'm going with it."
All right, I went iced. So take a sip. Mazel.
That is.
I mean, it's pretty good.
That is
very
good.
Very tasty. I'm gonna have to warm it up next time. How did you warm it up?
I just put the. You warm up the apple cider, put it in the glass, then you put the vodka on top.
Interesting.
I do like it.
All right. I'll have to try it your way next. I actually had one of these with dinner just to prime the pump, if you will. So maybe I'll finish off with a warmed one.
Listen, we are reaching the age where we have to start priming the pump. You know, we're not young kids anymore.
The sooner the better.
Absolutely. The only thing I wish I had done was I think I could have gone with a little bit of cinnamon.
You know, I was thinking that as well after I was drinking this, like a cinnamon stick, especially warmed. If you had thrown a cinnamon stick in there, that would have been money, my friend.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. All right. Okay, so that is, how did we get the caramel cocktail idea?
I believe that was listener Jocelyn. It was her suggestion.
Okay.
So
we already have a recommendation for next week.
I did see one of those. I believe that was Billy that sent a recommendation.
Billy sent in the Smoketoberfest beer.
Which I'd like.
Which that is going to be one of the nominees. If you have another one, please feel free to check us out on Facebook. Hit up our Twitter page, our Instagram, our TikTok, our Venmo. Don't be afraid to reach out to our Grindr page. I mean, wherever you can find, wherever you find social media, you will find a presence of the Ron and Brian show as we drink our cocktails.
All right. Moving on. I don't think, you know, it's a good drink. I don't know we need to belabor the point. Just tasty.
Yeah.
This
week
in
racism.
Brian, we've got a three-time winner. The Wrigley Field Racist had a shutout this week. And I got to admit, going back to week one, I did not feel the Wrigley Field Racist was overly racist. But here he is, staring down the possibility of a win number four in a retirement this week.
I'm going to say this to you. I don't believe in theory that a racist at a ballpark getting into a fight is an outstanding racist. However, the coup de grace of our Wrigley Field Racist is the fact that the National Guardsman who is just slaying the field, the competitors are just dropping like flies. The fact is that he showed up on Hispanic Heritage Night and decided to scream racist slurs at Hispanics. That is where I think he takes himself from the minor leagues, if you would, to the World Series.
I mean, he's got legs, let's put it that way. So, but we did have some competitors lining up this week out in Chaska, Minnesota. We had Halloween Attraction Screamtown that had an internal Facebook post from the owner instructing employees to enforce a, quote, zero tolerance policy with Somalis. After the post became public, owner Matt Dunn apologized if the post seemed to generalize and stated that it was referring to a specific group of teenagers. He made a public apology, which was accepted by a spokesperson for the Minnesota chapter of the Council on American-Islamic Relations. The attraction had been shut down because the Carver County Sheriff's Office had voided their contract with Screamtown to provide security. They have since reopened under a settlement with Carver County and are providing private security. Why all the hate against Somalis? I just don't get that.
This is not the first time we've seen them. I think it goes back to Black Hawk Down, the movie that was based on the armed for special forces that were defending Americans' interests overseas in Somalia, in Mogadishu, and where the helicopters were shot down, and the were they Marines? I think they were Marines.
I don't know.
And the Army Rangers, we had several casualties. Bodies that were desecrated, and the ever since then, I think there has been a overall, in terms of the hatred towards the Somalis, I think you're looking at all going back Black Hawk Down.
I think Tom Hanks also needs to take some responsibility for the movie Captain Phillips. I think that also got people up in arms against Somalis as well.
Listen, you don't, when Tom Hanks is the captain of your boat, you don't take it away from him.
I'm the captain now. Look at me.
I'm the captain. I am the captain now.
Speaking of Tom Hanks, he is doing that Mr. Rogers movie that'll be coming out next year.
Is there anything Tom Hanks does not do?
I don't think so.
The man is everywhere. The man is Oscar gold.
Speaking of Mr. Rogers, did you ever watch the documentary?
Never did.
All right. Well, get on top of that.
Putting excellent it on my. I'm putting. I'm right. Hold on. Watch this.
All right.
I'm writing this down because right. I don't want you to forget. Hold on. You see me? I got a pen and paper.
Got a pen. Writing it down. Is that pen working?
Yep. Just making notes. Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers. Now, is this the one where they talk about how he was a proud boy and hated the minorities that were forced upon him?
I don't believe that was this particular one.
I must be thinking of a different Mr. Rogers.
Either that or that was the director's cut.
Ah, okay. All right.
So back to this week in racism.
Racism.
In New York City, we have Lyft driver Sean Pepas-Lettman recorded an interaction with Robert Ortiz after Ortiz called the police on him for not letting him pick the music during his Lyft ride. Ortiz claimed that Lettman was, quote, racist against gay people and used the N-word multiple times. As a result, Ortiz has lost his job at CityMD after the video became public and has had to change his phone number, which was included in the 16-minute video. Lettman has been suspended by Lyft while they investigate the situation.
There's no video of that?
There was too much video.
Oh, 16 minutes.
Just so much video. I didn't want to subject people to that.
You know, you and I, our attention span is such that we can't follow a very long video.
That's right.
We can't watch a video and take notes and dissect it. We're just not capable of it. So if
that's right.
So the lesson here, people, is if you're going to record racism on your body cameras that have been recommended by the Ron and Brian podcast, really capture the racism. Don't capture the rant. It's really about the racism here. We want to expose it wherever we see it. Take them down.
And also coming this Christmas, the Ron and Brian podcast brand body cam. So get that for your special loved one. Put it under the tree.
Yes, except it's inserted inside the body.
Well, eventually.
Just a little tip is sticking out.
Going out to Kansas, we have Mike Colney, a Republican who holds the elected position of precinct committee man. He sent a Facebook message regarding Democratic congressional candidate Sharice Davids. Davids is an openly gay Native American lawyer, an amateur MMA fighter, and Colney stated, "Your radical socialist kickboxing lesbian Indian will be sent back packing to the reservation." Colney has since resigned his position, as well as his position on the board of directors for the Kansas City Barbecue Society. So for our listeners out in Kansas City, there's now an opening on the board of directors for the Barbecue Society. I'd imagine that's a pretty sweet gig.
I would imagine there is a lot of free food that's involved in that gig. I mean, when you think about it in Kansas City, you got two things. You have your barbecue and you have your Kansas City Chiefs. You know, the Royals haven't been good in years, so nobody really cares about them. But the big thing is you have the Chiefs, who literally only play 8 home games. The rest of the year, it's all about your barbecue. Kansas City barbecue. Speaking of barbecues, not to go onto a tangent, I was at a barbecue place in New Jersey this weekend.
Okay.
And I thought it would be fun to ask the waitress what style barbecue it was.
Oh, boy.
And just give her an idea of what I meant, because I could see the deer in the headlights look in her face. I said to her, you know, Texas, North Carolina barbecue. You know what kind of barbecue this is? She literally looked at me and just said, "It's barbecue." And that's when you know.
Well, there you go.
You're not at a good barbecue place.
And was it good barbecue?
I would say it was good. It wasn't great, but it was good enough for what was required.
For New Jersey, it was good.
Exactly.
All right.
You're in New Jersey. What can you really expect?
All right. Jumping over to Brooklyn, you have Teresa Klein, who's now known as Corner Store Caroline, appeared to call 911 on a 9-year-old African-American child who she claimed groped her ass as she leaned over a deli counter. She ended up going back to the deli a couple days later to look at surveillance video and saw that it was the boy's backpack that had brushed up against her. She has since issued a public apology to the child. New York police have stated that they received no 911 calls or complaints about this incident. So here's my question to you, even though this person isn't our candidate. Here's my question to you, because this is the same thing that the woman with the permit Patty did. Is it worse to call the police on an African-American person or to pretend to because you feel you can intimidate them just by pretending to call?
So is that what we think happened? We think she was pretending to call the police?
I mean, the police are saying, I mean, she made it seem like she was on the phone with 911. The police are saying they registered no 911 calls or police complaints from the deli on the day in question.
But this was a video you and I both watched. We discussed it. We commented back and forth about it. I mean, this woman's giving her name. She gave her address and
right.
phone number in the ad. And what you're saying is that there's no record of her call coming in.
That is what the media is saying.
Wow, Cornerstone Caroline.
But she was not the worst this week.
No, get
no, out. I kid you not. The All worst, right. We have to go out to St. Louis. Also good barbecue in St. Louis.
Mm.
Also racism in St. Louis with Hillary Brooke. Her nickname now is Becky Blocker. She tried to keep an African-American man from entering the apartment building that he lives in. So this is some audio of that.
Please move, ma'am.
I can. Okay. Do you live here?
I'll be answering that question. Excuse me. I'm sorry. The keypad is right there.
I understand that, ma'am.
You can film me. That's fine.
I understand, ma'am, but you're blocking me.
Into my building.
Okay. It's my building as well, so I need you to get out of my way.
Okay, what unit?
I don't need to say that information. So excuse me, ma'am.
I'm uncomfortable.
Okay, you can be uncomfortable. That's your discretion. You're uncomfortable because of you. I need you to move out of my way, please.
No.
Ma'am, please stop touching me.
I'm not touching you.
You just was previously.
I'm not touching you at all.
So I'm going to step in.
I'm not touching you, and I'm not in any way doing anything outside of letting my dog go to the bathroom.
Okay. I live here, and you're blocking the door.
What unit?
I don't need to tell you that. What unit do you live in?
307.
Okay. Great. I'm on the fourth floor. Excuse me.
No. You don't have a key fob. You are... No.
No. No. Ma'am.
If you have that, then okay.
Ma'am, you're not security. You're not the property manager. You're not Mike Herman.
No, but I live here.
Okay, and I live here too. You're not Mike Herman. You're not Rick.
I don't like the fact you have your phone in my face.
Okay, I don't like the fact that you're blocking me for where I paid.
All I'm asking is what unit.
But you're not, I don't need to tell you that information, ma'am.
If you want to come into my building.
It's not your building. You're not the owner. You pay rent.
Sir, you walked up on a street.
Yes, and I've already buzzed in. I've already
you
used
did
one.
Not.
Okay, yeah, it does not even matter. Can you get out of my way?
No. Can you show me the key fob into this building?
I'm not showing you anything. And the second, ma'am, I'm bound to walk through where I live at. So.
No.
Okay.
Can you show me the key fob into this? No.
Excuse me.
No.
Excuse me.
Are you kidding me? Where are you going? Do you have a key fob that looks like this? You can film all you want. I'm not being rude. I'm not being disrespectful. You walked into a building that I was taking my dog out and pushed your way in. Who are you going up to the fourth floor to see? No, I want to know who you're going to see.
So now you're going to call him?
I am.
Why?
Because I would like to know who's friends and why you're here. And if you do, then I'd like to meet you because you're a neighbor. And
you're gonna start off on getting up. I don't want to do no diligence. I'm going to my house. I'm going to my house where I live at, where I pay.
I would like to introduce myself then as a neighbor.
All right. And then after harassing him at the front door and in the lobby of the building, she also followed him to his apartment. So we have a quick final piece of audio from that.
Follow me all the way to my door.
As a plain
and you see my keys in the door. That is so that.
As a record, I just want to say hi.
Ma'am,
what
have
is
a,
your
ma'am, you just no. Have a good night, ma'am. That don't ever do that again. You look pretty stupid on video. Have a nice night.
To
and my name is Mr. Tolles. Thank you.
So she also called the police on him. A half hour later, police showed up at his apartment. For what reason? Still not exactly sure. So the videos that this gentleman shot have been viewed over 5 million times. And Hillary used to work for Tribeca Management, which is a minority-owned housing company. She has since been fired since this went viral.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go. I'm going to say this, and I don't want this to go to your head, Ron. But
okay,
this is a great nominee.
You like this one?
This is a great nominee because here you have, I mean, the dynamic of what's going on here. A man comes home to his apartment complex, is blocked by a woman out walking her dog. I don't know why I visualize a very small dog, like a Pomeranian.
Oh, you are 100% correct.
A Jack Russell.
It was like a Shih Tzu or a Yorkie or something
okay,
like
so
that.
So it's definitely a small dog. There's a hint of sexual tension in her voice.
Oh, yeah.
I pick up on. It's not.
And you know, it's funny because if you go on Facebook, I would say one of the number one comments that people left on these videos was that she needs the D.
What is her name again? If you can share it with me.
Hillary with one L, Brooke.
With an E.
Yes.
No, is it one L or two L's?
One L.
Because two L's is an American film actress from the 1940s. Hillary Brooke. Oh, she looks like Amy Schumer.
A little bit. Well, she definitely
looks like the Kansas City version of Amy Schumer. I mean, but there is a hint. There is definitely, you don't hear fear in her voice.
No.
You don't hear someone who is genuinely afraid. You don't hear somebody who is angry. There is a playful tone in her voice. And that is what, like, that's what makes it wrong, is the fact that here is a woman who feels that in today's day and age, she can use the I don't believe you belong here to find out where this guy lives.
Yeah, she's clearly fucking with him. And I guarantee you, she doesn't live in Unit 307 like she told him. I bet that was a lie.
I wouldn't be surprised if she told him, hoping that he would stop by later today to try and work out, you know, later on that night to try and work out their disagreement.
Yeah.
Maybe maybe he was going to bring some barbecue and there were some good old Kansas City style barbecue. Yeah, she's wearing fake Tim's yoga pants.
Oh, she's got that I want to speak to your manager haircut, too.
I would say she's got that sloppy I just came from a frat party haircut.
I mean, maybe I saw a different picture of her.
Except it's Sunday morning. I've got the picture of her from the video. It's longer hair. Yeah, she looks like Kansas City style Amy Schumer. All right, there we go. All right, I think she's a great candidate. You know how last week I said that there was, if anybody voted for airplane Mama Lou versus her name wasn't Mama Lou.
We don't know what her name was. It was the Southwest Airlines.
It was Southwest Sally. I said last week, if anybody voted for Southwest, I was going to reach out to them personally to try to understand their vote. Blocker Becky is getting my call. I think
I'm telling you. When I saw this video, I'm like, we've got a contest this week. So it is Becky Blocker trying to prevent the Wrigley Field racist from getting his fourth win in a row.
Wait a
second. So we will have this poll up on Facebook.
Are you saying that Becky Blocker is going to try and block the Wrigley Field racist?
That is exactly what I'm saying.
He is one step away from the Hall of Fame. First round bye.
She doesn't think he belongs there.
No,
so she's going to do everything in her power to keep him from getting there.
She's going to demand to see his second round fob, and if he doesn't have it, Wrigley Field's going down.
Good stuff.
Great candidate.
I work hard all week just to make you proud of me.
What a piece of garbage this woman is.
Again, go to our Facebook page. You'll be able to cast your vote. And moving on, Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Oh, yeah. Brian, what's your beef this week?
Honestly, it's the nominations for Drink of the Week.
Really?
May sound lazy, but I'm going to be honest with you. If there's one thing that consistently pisses me off every week, it's the day of recording, running around from one liquor store to another to another. I actually had to go to 5 different liquor stores to get the right kind of vodka. All because somebody, and I'm not blaming the people, I'm certainly not blaming our listeners, but I feel like people are just going out of their way to fuck with me.
It's very possible. I wouldn't deny that.
I mean, 2 weeks ago it was vanilla vodka, now it's caramel. I don't need all these different types of vodka in the house.
I will say this, I would say I was in the liquor store probably 3 or 4 weeks ago buying whatever needed to be bought for that week's drink of the week, and there was so much caramel vodka from all these different brands that it was ridiculous. And I had almost the same issue. Like, I literally had to search through the last bottle on the shelf to find one caramel vodka bottle.
It was ridiculous. And the issue that I have, and this is what it really boils down to, is the fact that the people behind the counter in my local liquor stores look at me like I am deranged when I ask for the different types of ingredients that I have to. Excuse me, sir, do you have any elderflower? This poor guy behind the counter is looking to sell cheap whiskey, cheaper vodka, and wine. That's all he cares about. This man has no idea what elderflower is. And I don't even, in all, between you and I, and obviously now all of our listeners, I don't even bother reaching out to you to ask you where I can get pumpkin spice. That was another one that pissed me off a couple weeks ago, was when I had to find pumpkin spice. Nobody fucking
sells
it.
Well, I got to take responsibility for that one.
But that was an actual punishment.
Yeah, that's true. It was.
It feels like Drink of the Week is turning into a, hey, let me try and figure out how, like, what Brian can run around trying to find. Like, you look at some of these nominations, and it's like 8 different ingredients to make one drink.
I mean, I will say this. You know, Drink of the Week was your baby, and you can decide to kill it off if you want to.
Yeah, I can't. You created Beef of the Week, and people wouldn't, it's not my, this is, Ron, the podcast
it's bigger
is,
than you now.
It's for the people. It's the people's podcast. You know, if we're gonna kill it, then fans are gonna listen to it, and I can guarantee you that it's gonna get voted down. People want Drink of the Week.
All right,
I think it's one of the more popular sections of our podcast.
I mean, you sure you don't want to switch and just have a beer each week?
I liked beer.
Sorry, I just love a reason to use that sound effect.
I honestly was so happy last week doing the Boilermaker.
It's pretty basic.
I'm a basic bitch.
But here's the thing. You like the Smoketoberfest submission, and that's got a few different ingredients as well.
I know. I like it now. I'm going to fucking hate it next Monday. I'm going to hate it next Monday.
Let me throw this out to you, because it's Monday. Yeah. You could keep an eye on the voting during the week and then maybe go out a day before and start getting your stuff.
Can I tell you what I was actually thinking you were going to say?
What's that?
Was that we would put up a poll and have it expire on Saturday. You'll go out and get the ingredients and we'll record next Saturday. And so this way I don't have to pick up anything. That's what
we will be in no condition to record on Saturday.
Ron, in my delusional state that I am in right now, I genuinely thought you were about to just be like, you know what, Brian? I got next week. I'll take the responsibility of all the shopping for bizarre, third world ingredients like caramel. I can't do it anymore. It's exhausting. It's killing my bank account. It's just killing it. You're killing me.
Oh, all right. So. Beef of the week for me.
What's yours?
Squirrels. This week it's goddamn fucking squirrels.
Where's this coming from?
Well, you know where it's coming from? It's coming from the fact that we decorate for Halloween because we love Halloween. I think I may have mentioned that the other week. We got married on Halloween. Halloween holds a special place in our heart. So we, of course, do a lot of decorating out front. You'll see it when you come down on Saturday. Okay. So what do you put out there? You put out pumpkins. We got Cinderella pumpkins, gourds, shit like that. And the goddamn squirrels have been eating our Cinderella pumpkins. We've already gone through like 2 or 3 of them, and it's pissing me off.
Question, what is a Cinderella pumpkin?
It's like, it's kind of squat and round. This one, it's got a reddish tint to it. It looks like, you know, the pumpkin that Cinderella had her little carriage made from.
Okay.
I assume that's where the name comes from. But apparently squirrels love to eat them.
All right.
Motherfuckers. So that's my beef. I hate squirrels. So if you see a squirrel, you know what? I ran over a squirrel accidentally a while back. I don't feel bad about it anymore. Bastard hat got what was coming to him.
Can you tell us the story of you running over a squirrel?
I mean, I was just driving home from work and squirrel ran out in the road and I didn't have a chance to slam on the brakes and I felt the boom, 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 boom and just looked back and he was just kind of spinning towards the curb. Jesus. And I was like, well, wasn't your day, my friend.
All right. Wow.
It's not your day.
That is brutal.
You know, if someone really wants to rain on your Drink of the Week parade, they might choose that new Elon Musk tequila.
Is that even on the market now or no?
I have no idea, but you may actually have to go to Elon Musk to request a special bottle. That would be a pain in the ass.
Listen, we have done so much free publicity for Elon Musk. There were people who, I remember week 3 of this podcast, wrote to me and said, who is Elon Musk? Why should I know about this guy? Now people, like, think about it. Everybody's talking about him. You know, before this podcast, nobody knew who Elon Musk was. He was just a random CEO of a random company in America. And now, Elon Musk, household name. People used to mumble their words when they would try to get his name out. And what happens now? It just flows off the tongue. Elon Musk, Elon Musk, Elon Musk. Everybody knows it.
We put him on the map.
Well, I think he owes me a case of that Vodkatilla, Tesla, Villa, whatever he's drinking.
Tesla Kila, I believe it's going to be called.
Tesla Kila. That's some evil shit. You and I both know that.
That's true. He's really preying on the alcoholics and the weak amongst us in the society.
Started with the marijuana, with him smoking on Joe Rogan's podcast. You know, hitting up the devil's cabbage. Now he's moving on to alcohol. What's next? Elon Musk, crystal meth? I don't know.
And I've seen, apparently, in the newer Teslas, they're going to have Atari video games that you can play from your steering wheel. Mm. So now we're going to have distracted drivers flying all over the road, crashing into young kids.
Well, that's a great idea. That's just a great idea. Yeah. Well, it's better kids than squirrels, apparently.
I don't know. I prefer the squirrel.
Apparently, I know you do.
So we lost a couple of celebrities this week.
You need some. We need some music. We need some heartfelt. Woe is us. Yeah, we lost some celebrities this week. First off, I want to give a shout out to the family of William Coors, who was the former CEO and chairman of the Coors Brewing Company. Or at the time, it was called the Molson Coors Brewing Company.
This is the slow.
Hold on. No. I'm going to work with it. Ron, I'm working with it. Let it go. Let it go. Let it play. Roll it out.
All right.
William Coors died at age 102 in Golden, Colorado. I don't hear any music anymore. Did you turn it off?
That's still there. You want me to turn it up a little bit?
Yeah, turn it up. I want to hear this, Jam. His death was confirmed by Colin Wheeler. He was the grandson of a stowaway from Germany who founded the Adolf Coors Company in the Rockies in 1873. And he followed a long-standing family tradition. He kept Coors marketing expenses to a minimum, spending a fraction of what the leading competitors budgeted for advertising. He was on the forefront of environmentalism. He developed the recyclable aluminum can that became a standard for the soft drink industry. In 1959, William Coors said to all the kids, "Yo, fools, give me a penny for each can when you return it, and I'm gonna make you rich. 'Cause we can recycle these cans, you little bitch." Then William Coors got into a little problem. And William Coors, the problem he got into was the 1970s when he decided he wanted to go out there and alienate unionists, blacks, Hispanics, women's, gays. When he started to go out there and be critical of those groups by making racist, sexist, and homophobic comments. Went out there and decided that he wanted to have all of his employees take lie detector tests to see who of his employee base were gay or had radical political views. AFL-CIO didn't really like that. So then he decided, I'm going to up the ante on you guys. I'm going to drop a bomb. Then he decided he was going to call out the immigrants by saying that they were all wetbacks crossing the Rio Grande. And when that didn't really get the attention of everyone, he said, "Hey, what can I do to piss off all the African Americans in this country?" Well, he put two and two together, and he decided to say that black people lacked intellectual capacity. Well, William Coors, fuck you. Glad you're dead.
You know, I feel that Brian slow jams the obituaries might be a new bit we have to explore. Jimmy Fallon may have an issue with that, but yeah, screw him.
Do you want me to take on Paul Allen?
Would you like the slow jam back?
I would love that music back. I was rocking it. Oh yeah, people. Bill Gates lost a brother when Paul G. Allen died. His brother from another mother. Non-Hodgkin's lymphoma was what brought Paul Allen down.
I feel like perhaps you don't have as many notes on Paul Allen.
Are you kidding me? Paul Allen was co-founder of Microsoft. He left Microsoft in 1982 with a net worth of $26.1 billion, though he wanted to have a trillion. Also, he died today, so I didn't have as much time to research his death. So cut me a little freaking slack.
All right, a little bit. Just a little bit. All right.
Last but not least in celebrity obituaries is the engagement of America's favorite kids, Pete Davidson, Ariana Grande. You know, I thought if those two kids can't make a relationship work, what do I have to look forward to? What are the chances I have anything going on? But SNL star Pete Davidson, I don't even know if I would call him a star. Let's be honest, he's on the show maybe once a week. Not really good in skits. Does a lot of the Weekend Update. Kind of mumbles his words. Doesn't really seem coherent. Kind of a stoner. And Ariana Grande, who was off the radar, except the fact that I knew my nieces liked her. And then a terrorist blew himself up in Manchester at one of her concerts. I couldn't name one song that she sang, but I do know Bill Clinton was kind of down with her at the Aretha Franklin funeral a couple months back.
I mean, you know, those two, they made me believe in love again.
Well, it's not to be.
Davidson was just on Stern the other week. Talking about how lucky a guy he was, which really he was. I mean, I don't want to say he was dating over his head, but I mean, you looked at the two of them and you were like, did she lose a bet? What's going on here?
I think that she was. I think she was. If that's a serious question, I mean, I'll tackle it.
Please.
Really, what I think what happened here was that this was a rebound relationship. Ariana Grande had been dating rapper Mac Miller for many weeks, two years,
I believe.
It was a couple of weeks. His relationship with drugs very well known. She had put her heart and soul into that relationship, unable to get him off the wacky tobacco. Did everything she could, and when she realized it wasn't going to work, she walked away. Mac was never able to overcome his addictions, and when he overdosed a couple months ago. I think Ariana realized that maybe this was all on her, and Pete was not cool with that and said, yo, Bish, this is about me. What's up with us? Who's this Mac boy you're talking about? Are you talking about your Mac? Because if you're talking about your Mac laptop, I'm going to tell you, go out there and buy a Microsoft laptop. I'll call Paul Allen. He'll hook us up with a nice discount.
Now, looking at Ariana, I mean, she dates Mac Miller, who's got a substance abuse issue. She gets engaged to Pete Davidson, who has been diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. Do you think she is trying to find men that need to be fixed, or what's there's definitely something there?
I think that she is, personally, I think she's looking for guys that will basically treat her like a queen. Because if she were to go for a guy that is on her level, it's not about her anymore.
Well, Ariana, Brian is available. I'm just going to throw that out there.
I could not handle that.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I a couple of years back, I was in a relationship that, you know, we were in the paparazzis followed us wherever we went. All my comings and goings were in page six. I don't want to go back to that again. You know, right. I want my privacy.
That's respectable.
Thank you.
So moving forward here, there was a lot of Kanye this week, and we were just fascinated by it, that we had to take a very deep dive into all things Ye, or Ye, is it Ye?
Ye, it's Ye. Yeezy.
Well, Yeezus, yes.
Yeezus.
So the other day he was in the Oval Office with Jim Brown was there. Who was the other person that was there? I forget. I know Kid Rock had been there earlier in the day. This is how
85 different photographers and media were also in the room at the time. It was a real nice private conversation.
This, This is how crazy Kanye's visit to the White House was, is that Kid Rock was there on the same exact day because Trump was signing some new music licensing bill, and it got zero press whatsoever.
Nobody
so the
cared.
Fact that Kid Rock can go to the White House and everyone's like, yeah, whatever. And everyone's fascinated on this like 8-minute monologue that Kanye did in the Oval Office. So, well, let's run through some of the clips I pulled from that Trump visit.
There's theories that there's infinite amounts of universe in this alternate universe. So it's very important for me to get Hoover out, because in an alternate universe, I am him.
So I'm not sure who he was talking about, and to be honest, I'm not even sure what he was talking about there. But yeah, God, why did there have to be so many cameras? And why in this day and age do cameras still need to make a noise?
Jesus Christ. I never even thought of that. But you're right. Everything's digital now. What is the clicking noise?
Like, why is that even necessary? Like, I'm sorry. So
can I hear that video again?
Yeah, of course.
There's theories that there's infinite amounts of universe in this alternate universe. So it's very important for me to get Hoover out, because in an alternate universe, I am him.
Like, why does it need to sound like somebody's on a 1920s typewriter in the background?
Did he say that he has to get Hoover out?
I believe so. And I'm not sure if it's J. Edgar or if there's somebody else he's referring to.
Like a vacuum cleaner,
he is apparently
maybe?
The Hoover of maybe the vacuum. He is the Hoover of this universe.
He clearly says, "I have to get Hoover out."
Do you need it one more time?
I would like it. Yes.
There's theories that there's infinite amounts of universe in this alternate universe, so it's very important for me to get Hoover out, because in an alternate universe, I am him.
Yeah. Okay. Now, in his defense, I'm just going to say this. There are theories which are backed up that says there are multiple universes out there, that we are not the only planet in this galaxy where there is life. So if he says that there are theories that there's universes out there, I'll believe it. You know, the theory of their alternate realities, you know, I can't prove otherwise. But then he starts talking about Hoover and he loses me.
Well, here we go, and perhaps we should have done some research beforehand, but he apparently was referring to Larry Hoover, who in 1973, he was the pioneer and originator of the Chicago Gang, gangster disciples. He was charged with the homicide of a 19-year-old in Chicago's Englewood neighborhood, and he is now serving 150 to 200 years in jail for requesting the hit. Now, this is interesting. His time in jail didn't stop his criminal way of life, as he assumed control over the South Side's drug exchange and helped build the Folks Nation, another gang in the Chicago area.
No, but I did learn the phrase Chirac.
Have you ever heard of it? Hold
on. Damn it.
You know, people expect that if you're black, you have to be Democrat. I have I've had conversations that basically said that welfare is the reason why a lot of black people end up being Democrat. They say, you know, first of all, it's a limit to amount of jobs. So the fathers lose the job and they say, we'll give you more money for having more kids in your home. And then we got rid of the mental health institutes in the 80s and the 90s, and the prison rates just shot up. And now you have Chirac.
There you go, Chirac.
Okay, he makes a terrible jump here. Because he's got me on the fact that during the 80s, we did shut down a lot of mental health institutions. We did cut funding to a lot of mental health foundations, which basically turned our prison system into a holding pattern or a holding institution for people with mental diseases, because they tended to act it out in criminal ways, or just basically antisocial ways that could be deemed criminal. I've watched documentaries or shows about prisons, and one of the things I've seen on a regular basis is that the percentage of people in prisons with mental health diseases has skyrocketed over the past 30 years.
Yes. And it happened. However, you know, they did it here in Philly, too. They closed many mental hospitals here and they either became homeless or went into prison.
Yeah, but how does he say that that's the cause of what took place in Chicago, which is their incredibly high murder rate, which suddenly goes down by 20% every year?
Right. And he even stated that right after he said everything's horrible. He even said, oh, but the crime rate's going down. So what else do we got here?
But this hat, it gives me power in a way. You know, my dad and my mom separated, so I didn't have a lot of male energy in my home. And also, I'm married to a family that, you know, not a lot of male energy going on. It's beautiful, though.
So, I mean, no one really talked about this part, but he was kind of throwing a little bit of shade at Bruce Jenner, who later became Caitlyn Jenner.
I would say he's throwing quite a bit. No offense, but, they don't show. What happened to Rob? Where's Rob Kardashian? Where is he in all of this? This is where Kanye starts to lose me, because he suddenly somehow goes from my father left my mother when I was a child to the hat, the Make America Great hat, and how it made him feel wearing that hat.
Well, and he goes into that talking about the whole Clinton-Trump campaign.
You know, I love Hillary. I love everyone, right? But the campaign I'm with her just didn't make me feel as a guy that didn't get to see my dad all the time, like a guy that could play catch with his son. There was something about when I put this hat on, it made me feel like Superman.
So I'll let you take that one, because I have no fucking clue what he was saying.
What he's trying to say is the fact that because he lacked a father figure growing up, he sees Donald Trump as a paternal figure whose support makes Kanye feel good about himself.
But so what I don't
Donald
get...
Donald Trump says, I want to make America great. Kanye looks at America and says, there's a lot that needs to be changed, and there's a lot of areas that are not good. We need to make it great again. That's where Kanye connects with Donald Trump vis-a-vis make America great. I'm a Superman. I'm not with her.
But this is what I don't get is, you know, here's a guy that admittedly didn't have a male energy in the house, was raised by his mom and clearly loved his mother. I mean, you know, before she passed away, there was a lot of articles about that. So he's basically in this statement kind of crapping on his mom a little bit, because if he was raised by a strong woman, then why would he have any issue whatsoever with a strong woman running the country?
Well, I think it's the fact that she's not here anymore, so therefore he can say stuff about her.
I don't know. I just had a hard thing. This is just a quick clip. I don't know why I even pulled it, but it just made me laugh.
It's habilitation, not rehabilitation.
Remember that, Brian. It's habilitation, not rehabilitation.
What is habilitation?
I'm not quite sure, but it's habilitation, not rehabilitation.
It's habilitation, not rehabilitation.
All right. Then he goes into the 13th Amendment.
There's a lot of things affecting our mental health that makes us do crazy things that puts us back into that trap door called the 13th Amendment.
So, again, he loses me here. I'm not exactly sure
Stop
why the
where
13th
you
Amendment is a trap door.
Stop where you are.
Okay.
Allow me to take over.
Please.
Neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction.
Okay.
No. That's the 13th Amendment.
Oh, I understand that. I'm still trying to find where the trap door is in there.
Do you want me to repeat? I mean, like, did you not see it?
Well,
I don't get it. Like, what?
Let's let Yay clarify a little bit.
I did say abolish with the hat on, because why would you keep something around that's a trap door? If you're building a floor, the Constitution is the base of our industry, right? Of our country, of our company. Would you build a trap door that if you mess up and you accidentally something happens, you fall and you end up next to the Unabomber?
Hold on. I left out. I have an apology to you. Ron, okay. I want to apologize to you. I left out a part of the 13th Amendment.
And which part is, does it relate to the Unabomber somehow?
Well, the second, you'll see the connection. Section 1, I'm going to repeat, because this is the trap door that ends you next to the Unabomber.
Okay.
Section 1, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Now, that's the trapdoor you're falling through. Here is Section 2, end up next to the Unabomber. Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation.
Okay.
Bam, I just dropped it on you.
You just dropped some knowledge. Oh, and he talks about the people that that ratified the 13th Amendment.
The four gentlemen that wrote the 13th Amendment... and I think the way the universe works, it's perfect. We don't have 13 floors, do we? You know, so the four gentlemen that wrote the 13th Amendment didn't look like the people they were amending.
So, two things. Number one, there is a 13th floor in buildings that are taller than 13 floors. They just call it the 14th floor. People right. are very superstitious Which- that way.
But shouldn't we have been superstitious about the 13th Amendment? That's why it's a trap door.
But here's the thing is he states this thing that, okay, the people that wrote the 13th Amendment didn't look like the people of the 13th Amendment covered, like it's some incredibly insightful statement. But the fact of the matter is, because of slavery, because of the way blacks were viewed at that point, they couldn't be in government. So people that didn't look like them had to write the amendment. Because no one else had the power to do so.
I would also like to put out there that during this whole time, now at this point, you're probably talking about 6 solid minutes of Kanye talking.
Oh, yeah.
No interruptions, no breaks. Nope. During this entire time, Donald Trump is sitting across the table from him, literally bopping his head from side to side to give the appearance that he is somehow following what Kanye is talking about.
Oh, because he fucking loved it. Because he knew he was going to get so much free press over it.
Painful. You know who's not getting free press out of this?
Who's that?
Jim Brown. Football player admitted that he beat women. Nobody's talking about that.
What else? Kanye talked about his intellect.
I'm going to go ahead and drop some bombs for you. 98th percentile IQ test. I had a 75th percentile of all human beings, but it was counting 8 numbers backwards off the repeat, so I'm going to work on that. The other one's 98%, Tesla, Freud.
Yes, you're calling time out.
Okay, so on IQ tests, Kanye West scores 98%, except so from, in one area where he has to count numbers backwards.
So apparently, yes,
like an 80?
He is in the 98th percentile. Unless, and this must be, I mean, this is the kryptonite to his Superman. If you have to count backwards from 8, he drops from 98 to 75%.
what a lunatic.
Dopest cars, the most amazing. I don't really say dope. I don't say negative words and try to flip them. We just say positive, lovely, divine, universal words.
So he says about Donald Trump should be driving the dopest cars, and then he's like, but I don't really use the word dope, even though I just use the word dope.
So that's a negative word.
That's a negative word, and he's not sending negative energy. He's sending positive energy out to the universe. Yes. Then he pulls up – this was it was one of the more insane parts. He pulls up a picture of a plane on his phone and starts showing it to everybody.
Hold up.
Before you get to it.
Yes.
Before you get to this. How does he pull it up on his phone?
Oh, with his passcode.
Well, Ron, how do you know what his passcode is?
Because apparently it was caught on video and it was 4 zeros.
6 zeros.
6 zeros, excuse me.
He typed in 0 6 times to unlock his phone, which means that the man doesn't even realize that if you're going to be lazy about your iPhone password, in the settings you can change it so that it's a 4-digit number.
It's like Spaceballs, where the pass, where the combination was 1, 2, 3, 4.
2, 3, 4.
It's the same combination of my luggage.
This right here is the iPlane 1. It's a hydrogen-powered airplane, and this is what our president should be flying in. Look at this shirt. Well, we're going to have Apple, the American company, work on this plane with.
So, a couple of things. iPlane 1, not able to be built because the materials that would need to build it don't exist yet.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Number two, why would you have Apple build a plane?
Because they do such a great job in their phones.
Like, I would say Boeing. I mean, even as much as we are ridiculing Elon Musk, even Tesla would be a better choice to build a plane since they build rockets.
Yeah, they launched the car into space.
And then this was the last clip I got from the
But when we make everything in China and not in America, then we're cheating on our country. And we're putting people in positions to have to do illegal things to end up in the cheapest factory ever, the prison system.
Kind of has a point there. He's got a point there. The prison system, they literally pay people 50 cents an hour, if that.
And I think, you know, the challenge I face is that, you know, he makes some very valid points. He made the point about, you know, the mental hospitals being shut down in the 80s and the 90s. He's made points about the prison population. But it's just surrounded by so much crazy that I think the impact of it gets lost.
What are you saying? There's supposed to be an impact here?
You would think.
I thought we were all just supposed to listen to it and laugh at him, laugh at his expense.
So there was that, and then he had gone silent on social media, only to reemerge on Twitter with a 9-minute-plus rant on Periscope on Saturday regarding mind control.
You know, when people try to influence you through social media and try to tell you what to do, or if you post something that's like positive on Instagram and gets taken down, if it's not a part of a bigger agenda, you know, that's like mind control.
It's like mind control, Brian.
I can't say that he's lying about it or it's untrue. Just saying I can't prove that there is mind control out there.
Is it necessarily mind control, or is it? I don't know if that's quite the term. But regardless, he talks about his intellect again.
You know, I just got back my IQ scores, and they were Mensa level, 133, 98 percentile, like straight up Sigmund Freud, Tesla vibes.
So I'm not sure what it is with Tesla and Freud.
I don't think that Tesla was walking around going up to, you know, people in the local market being like, I just got my IQ back. It is 133. It is some straight up Freud level shit. Well,
and this
I don't
the,
think
this
he
is
was
the
doing
thing.
That.
You know who doesn't tell people how smart they are?
Smart people.
Smart people.
Yeah.
Let's listen to this one more time.
You know, I just got back my IQ scores, and they were Mensa level, 133, 98 percentile, like straight up Sigmund Freud, Tesla vibes.
Tesla vibes. Mm-hmm. Apparently, he's got people touching his mind.
The worst thing, the way I feel like when people try to tell me what to do, I feel like they're touching my brain. Like, for a woman, she doesn't want nobody to, she wants to be in control of her body and choose who she wants to give it to. And no one can come up and touch it or take it or tell her what to do with it. It's up to her what she does with it. So I feel like that with my mind.
Mm-hmm. So you want to pull that apart a little bit?
He's comparing people who are analyzing him to the federal government banning abortions.
Well, he talks about, you know, it's interesting because he talks about women wanting, you know, almost in a respecting way about women being able to choose what happens to their bodies, yet he supports a president and a party that wants to take those rights away from women.
Okay. I think he's crazy.
He goes on to more brain touching.
And when someone tries to tell me what to do, tries to tell me what I can wear and not wear, I feel like they're touching my brain. Imagine you like cut your like skull open and somebody like touch your brain with their hand. How that would hurt you.
Well, I would think the cutting would hurt.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's a medical fact that you can touch somebody's brain in certain areas and they don't actually feel it.
Right. But I would say the cutting through the skull and everything probably would hurt a bit. And this is the other thing I don't get. He talks about people telling him what to do. You know, he is one of these individuals that have gotten himself to a position where he really doesn't need to listen to anybody else. He has a level of fame, a level of wealth, that he can pretty much do what he wants. So I'm not exactly sure who's telling him what he can or cannot do.
I think he's got publicitous. I think he's got publicists.
And publicitists.
He's got duplicitous publicists. I think he's got people who are telling him, listen, it's bad for your image, for your brand to go on crazy rants online. I think he's got people telling him what to do. He's just not listening to him.
Right. Let's see what else we have here.
It's like a modern day psychological, like Ayn Rand control.
So I've been trying to figure out what Ayn Rand control means, and I've yet to figure that out.
I don't know. That's all right. Not on me.
We'll just keep moving forward.
Like one of the things they do, like as soon as you get money, they make you buy a house. Like I got this house. It's never finished. Like the house is just never finished. It's just costing money after money after money. It's like this big plot.
So he's complaining about having a house.
No, basically. He's complaining because there are renovations constantly going on in his house.
But who made him buy a house?
Well, I would imagine that he had an advisor say the best thing you could do with your money is invest in real estate.
Possibly.
Which is true. It is true.
He gets even crazier towards the end of this one. This was a good one.
Social media told you that Hillary was going to win and she didn't win. Social media told you that people didn't like me, but everybody loves me. Everybody loves Ye.
Everybody loves Ye.
I do not love Ye. Ergo, Mr. IQ 133, not everybody loves Ye.
What else we got here? It was a treasure trove this week, folks.
I am the best living recording artist. Because the spirits flow through me. The spirit of Fela, the spirit of Marley, the spirit of Pac flows through me.
It's a lot of stuff flowing through him.
Maybe Fela. I don't know. Definitely not.
You know, Marley. It's funny because one of Fela's sons came out and said, no, there's no way our father would go anywhere near Kanye West. And then this was one last clip here from that one. He goes back to this often where apparently he's been trying to buy his publishing rights back from Sony.
Sony ATV told me I couldn't buy my publishing. I got the money.
So he's got the money, can't buy his publishing. It happens. They don't want to sell it back to him. You know, what are you going to do? So that was... It was something. It was a peek inside the mind of a man who is very complex. Probably needs a little bit of help. Would be my take on it. There's definitely, you know, he says he's not bipolar. First he'll say he's bipolar. Then he says he isn't. He just needs some sleep. He's just got a little bit of sleep deprivation.
Yeah, I would say so.
So, hopefully Kanye gets some sleep.
Now, my question to you is this. Do you think is Trump's or Trump's people, what do you think their motivation is for having Kanye come visit them? Because,
I will say that there is probably a very small percentage of people that might be swayed by him being there and supporting Donald Trump. But more so, I feel... You know, it's a case of Trump likes anything that gets him press, and this is something that gets him press that isn't negative about him.
Okay.
I mean, what's your take?
I kind of feel that that there is some level of joy in watching an insane African American male talk about how much he loves Donald Trump.
And there could be that,
like,
too.
I don't believe that Donald Trump supporters are sitting there saying, yeah, that's right. You do have a 98 percentile IQ. You're a genius. And we need to go into Chirac and help mental health institutions. No, I don't think those people are thinking any of that. I think that the Donald Trump supporters are sitting there saying, wow, that guy is such a nut job. This is why you can't support African-American people.
There definitely was a number of people that referred to Kanye's appearance as a minstrel show, as a little step and fetch. Pretty poor optics for Kanye. But it doesn't really seem like he cares. Because you can't go by what social media tells you. Everybody loves Ye. All.
Everybody loves Ye.
Yeah. Brian, what else we got here tonight?
Well, one thing I'd like to say is that it looks like the story of Jamal Khashoggi has reached a critical mass on the world stage.
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were going to have something to say about
that. Is that the only statement?
No, my only statement is that according to the New York Post, who is reporting what CNN is reporting, Saudi Arabia is readying a report that will say that Jamal Khashoggi died during interrogation that went wrong inside the Saudi Arabian consulate within Turkey last week or the week before, whenever the guy went missing. And this is something that they have denied knowledge of. We spoke about this extensively last week on the podcast.
We did.
I did not, you know, I don't want to put this in the celebrity obituary because I'd like to believe that Mr. Khashoggi is still alive. I know that he had a fiance who was waiting outside for him. And the key here, and this is where what you want to believe or what you don't want to believe, but Turkey is saying that they have intelligence. They've got audio of the actual interrogation. They have audio of him dying. They have audio of the Saudi Arabians that were in the room at the time discussing what they were going to do with the body. They have they say that they have the identities of the Saudi Arabians that came into the country the day of the death and saw them leaving the same day. And they also claim that they have intelligence that shows that the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia is the one who personally ordered the assassination.
So what CNN has also reported at this point is that, you know, Saudi Arabia is basically getting ready to admit that there were Saudi Arabia citizens that were responsible for the murder, but that they were acting on their own volition. They were a random group of individuals from the government that were not acting on orders, acting on their own thing. So, you know, you and I talked about this earlier. You know, Donald Trump first put out there that it was a group of rogue killers that took care of this. And surprisingly, Saudi Arabia is now kind of running with that narrative now.
It's the only way that they get out of this without looking like evil bastards.
But what's amazing to me, and again, I guess there should be no shock in the depths that Donald Trump is willing to go to, but, you know, in one of his first public statements about this, you know, one thing he said was, you know, that this person wasn't an American. And, all right, so he was an American national. Perhaps he wasn't, you know, American-born citizen, but he was someone that had the rights of American citizens. He was a journalist, and he was someone that was punished for speaking out against his country and against his government. But apparently that's okay in Trump's eyes because, you know, Saudi Arabia is going to spend $110 billion in our country, which apparently they would go spend somewhere else if we held them to some sort of civil rights or human rights standards.
Yeah, but so, I think we also already overruled that the $100 billion is a fictitious number.
Oh, and it certainly is. It's bullshit stuff as always. But, you know, again, it just shows you that, you know, our president can put a dollar sign on the life of another individual.
Well, I'm going to take it one step further. I don't believe that there is a dollar that makes somebody's life worth more than the dollar. I believe that Jared Kushner could get shot down by a company, and Donald Trump would sit there and rationalize the business aspect of it.
See, that would make sense, because I feel he's probably pretty jealous of Jared, because Jared gets to bang Ivanka. And that's what Donald would like to do.
Ivanka.
But, you know, and again, with for the Trump supporters out there, and we know there are a few that listen to the podcast, like, you really have to examine your support of this individual. You know, this is someone that is okay with another country making arrangements to kill somebody that speaks ill of them. And I would probably guess that the Trump supporters out there probably had a lot of negative things to say about our country between 2008 and 2016, but you get to still be alive today. Khashoggi does not get that chance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very sad. It's very depressing.
It is depressing.
But with midterms approaching, everybody has an opportunity to do something about it. We have talked about it previously. We will talk about this moving forward. You know, make sure you are registered to vote. Early voting has started in a number of states out there. Get your people to the polls. You know, I was looking at the North Dakota Senate race. You know, a vote for somebody in North Dakota counts 27 times more than a vote in other states because of the population disparity and the fact that they still get two full Senate seats. So for all these other states that have, you know, key races coming up, Texas, Pennsylvania, Georgia, get out to the polls. Get your people out to the polls. Uber and Lyft are going to be offering free and discounted rides to polling locations on Election Day. You know,
is it true that your hotel will be offering free mustache rides?
I will work on that and see what I can do.
Just making sure.
You know, there was a graphic on, I want to say, NBC News today, that they're projecting if there is a low voter turnout, that Republicans retain control of the House by one seat. So it is very important for people to get out there and vote.
I'm going to say this, and I don't want to put a political spin on this, because it's not about my political views. Go out and vote, regardless of the political party or whether you don't believe in a political party or whatnot. Go out there. If you don't support a Democrat or you don't support a Republican, write in your a person that you do support. Let your voice be heard. Because if enough of the people that don't believe in the Democrats and Republicans go out there and vote, then suddenly we would find ourselves with a legitimate third party.
That's right.
So just go out there. Be heard.
And remember, folks, voting isn't corny.
We not corny.
That's my new Kanye sound effect.
We not corny.
I don't know why I like that. I just do.
It's just terrible. We I not also corny. Like.
Which do you like more?
We not corny.
Or?
I liked beer.
I think I like beer better.
Liked beer.
Also, I would like to say, I'd like to get your take on the fact that Stormy Daniels' defamation lawsuit against Donald Trump got thrown out today.
You know, defamation suits are very difficult to get through a court, you know, especially in a situation where, you know, she was a willing participant in certain activities.
No, he called her a total con job.
But is that defamation, or, you know, again, and I think, you know, being a former porn star, I think it's a fight for legitimacy in the legal system. As tough it is for a normal citizen, I think for someone that the courts may have a natural bias against, it's going to be that much more difficult to win that kind of to have that kind of case go forward, especially against the sitting president.
All right. Okay. Well,
not saying it's right, but I'm not overly surprised.
Interesting. What a week we just had.
Telling you. Hopefully you all enjoyed it. We certainly enjoyed listening to ourselves, as we often do. Make sure you get over to our Facebook page. We will have the polls up for This Week in Racism. We've got one drink of the week. We need a second drink of the week. So help us out with that. Something with minimal agreements. Make Brian happy.
Thank you. Also, I'd like to remind people, if you are going to be in the Southern Jersey, Eastern Pennsylvania area this coming Saturday, we will be appearing at the Hoppy Halloween at the
Broken Goblet Brewing.
At the Broken Goblet Brewery
in Bristol, Pennsylvania.
We're going to take on another podcast. they just don't know about it.
We did find out today that a podcast called Day Drinking Saved My Life will be broadcasting live. We will also be broadcasting live, if by broadcasting live you mean we'll be probably yelling drunk things at people as they walk by. So if you would like that, we will sign asses, we will sign babies, we will sign breasts. You know, we're all about the people. We will sign your autographs on whatever you'd like.
I like it.
Maybe not a penis autograph. I don't know if we
do
that
far. No. We're clean. Let's be clean about this.
All right. So check us out this Saturday if you're in the Bristol area. Otherwise, listen, pass it around, share us with your friends, and check us out in all of our social media forms. Brian, you got anything else for the cause today?
Just the fact that I love you.
I love you more. We're going to roll on out of here. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We're out.